and delighted to have Gideon Haigh, author, cricket fan, cricketer, historian, joining me here to have a little chat about the historical significance, not so much of the 80 years, but the first broadcast of cricket on the radio in Australia by the Australian Broadcasting Commission, that test match at Sydney in December 1932, a match won by England, a series won by England, and one with a deal of acrimony because of the tactics employed by the amateur Douglas Jardine in his Harlequin cap that the Australian barrackers came to hate. Gideon, thank you for joining us. Just put it into perspective, the start of radio and cricket, and the coming together of those two, and the ability to put the message across to everyone who wasn't at the ground.
Well, it's worth saying that Australia was way ahead of England where the broadcasting of cricket was concerned, bringing cricket to a mass audience. I guess because we had a small and dispersed population that otherwise had no ability to access the cricket score. Of course, Bradman only ever saw one test match, one day of test cricket before he played test cricket himself. So it was a momentous thing to go to the cricket in those days. It was something that that you were relatively privileged to have access to. So radio was uniquely suited to Australian sporting needs, and it just so happened. It is a coincidence, but it's a remarkable and poignant coincidence that it should have been this particular series that where ABC Radio Cricket began, because it is a series that kind of it was two nations divided by a common game, the Bodyline series. There was so much at stake, and it was amazing that two nations with so much in common could fall out over a simple game of cricket.
What was the backdrop to that, though, in the Anglo-Australian relationship, which had been on edge in a number of ways through the First World War, through the decision taken by the Scullin government to have the first Australian-born Governor-General, Sir Isaac Isaacs, which was a poke in the eye to the British.
The visit from Oscar Niemeyer from the Bank of England to give Australia all sorts of gratuitous advice about how to run their finances and to institute austerity policies for the beneficiation of bondholders in London. There are a whole lot of aspects to a whole lot of tensions to the Anglo-Australian dynamic at that time. And of course, a lot of people would have thought that, oh, isn't it splendid that we've got an England-Australia Test match series to bring the two nations closer together, because cricket is conducive to such warm feelings of companionship and good sportsmanship between these two countries. But of course, it had an equal and opposite effect, particularly when the Australian Board of Control sent a string of telegrams to the Marylebone Cricket Club, accusing the English players of unsportsmanlike behaviour in their attack on the Bodyline. And the English authorities actually said, well, if you feel that way, then we'll abandon the rest of the tour. And, of course, the Australians backtracked at a rate of knots, because that was the last thing they wanted. They couldn't afford to have the series abandoned. It was the way in which Australian cricket funded itself at that stage, and in some respects continues to do so, perhaps until, you know, India became such an important financial powerhouse. Those Ashes series every 4 years have been what's kept the game going in this country.
Why did and how did Jardine so upset the Australian fans? Was it because their hero Bradman was brought back to being immortal?
I guess it was that, and it was also the manner in which Jardine did it. You know, previous English captains had been very popular here. Johnny Douglas, Arthur Gilligan, Percy Chapman. They were the Australian, the epitome of the Australian idea of the English gentleman, polite and decorous and capable of an empire-affirming speech. Well, Jardine had no such desire to be a diplomat. You know, he was on an imperial mission to administer retribution on the uppity colonials, and he did so to the ultimate degree of his ability.
Intimidation. That was what it was about to some extent, wasn't it? They weren't wearing helmets and bowling at you with, of course, a lot more men on the leg side behind the wicket than we see today.
That's right. But it was explicitly to neutralise Bradman. The series was about cutting Bradman down to size, because he had towered over the 1930 series. He made 974 runs. He looked as though he'd completely reinvented batsmanship, fast scoring it with minimal risk. It was an entirely different paradigm. And England had to do something. Otherwise, they were going to chase an awful lot of leather in Australia.
It was one all after two games, though. So it wasn't as if the series went one way dramatically
indeed,
at the start.
Indeed. And Bradman made 100 in the second test here. The only test match where England played an all-pace attack. Mm. They left out their spinner, Hedley Verity. And at that stage, you get the sense that if Jardine had been an equivocal man, he might have backed off from his plan. Mm. But Douglas Jardine was not for turning.
But Gubby Allen refused to bowl the bumping stuff, didn't he, at the Australian batsman?
Yeah, well, Gubby Allen was a bit of a snob. He thought that that Jardine was not quite the right stuff. And he, as an amateur, of course, was free to do so because he didn't depend on the game for his livelihood. But Harold Larwood and Bill Vose, who were the main attacking weapons in that England side, they were professionals and they had to refer to their captain as Mr. Jardine.
He got a fair bit of derision from the fans, though, didn't he?
He did
because
indeed.
Because of his tactics. And there was almost a riot in Adelaide.
There was. And, of course, by wearing his university harlequin cap, he seemed to epitomise English ideas of class distinction that Australian fans naturally abhorred. Funny enough, I think both Chapman and Gilligan had both worn harlequin caps here. And it hadn't savoured of the same kind of divisiveness as Jardine brought to the game. But Jardine was a divisive figure. As his old coach, Rockley Wilson, once said, he may win us the Ashes, but he might lose us an empire in the process.